In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The word for this morning is the text from number 6, which you have just heard. We have before us the all-encompassing words of the Aaronic benediction, called, of course, by some people the Aaronic benediction. At least students call it that. I don't know what other lay people call it. But it is also called the priestly benediction because it was assigned to Aaron and his son. Thus, it is a benediction which has been traditionally reserved for the pastoral office, for those who are the public dispensers of the grace of God. It's significant that in an installation service, quite commonly the concluding collect and the benediction are conducted by the new pastor as a public demonstration that he is now the new pastor of that congregation. Ever since God has given us the words of this benediction, they have persisted in the church and have become embedded in the worship life of the people of God. The Mishnah says that this benediction was spoken daily in the Jerusalem temple, and that it was that one time in the life of a Jew where the divine name Yahweh could actually be pronounced instead of substituting Adonai. And of course, because it is a threefold blessing, it has become for us the traditional pericope for Trinity Sunday. While we cannot say that this is a sedes doctrinae for the Trinity, certainly the reality of the Trinity is behind this threefold benediction. In layman's terms, the doctrine of the Trinity points out to me that God is too big and glorious to be figured out by puny men. If we could figure him out, we really wouldn't need him. But as he is, he's so far beyond us that he is a God in whom we can put all our trust. Now, these words are so common to us that sinners have a way of making them commonplace. For lay people in a worship service, these words often signify that it's time to get your coat and find your car keys. And for pastors, well, there is always the fear of forgetting in front of the people the very words that are the most common to us. And I notice by the reaction that some have forgotten the benediction. Don't feel bad. I had one man confess to me who had been a pastor for 30 years that at the end of the service he turned to face the congregation and completely forgot what to say. By the way, there is a little mnemonic device for you to remember this. The threefold benediction is the Lord bless, the Lord make, and the Lord lift. The initials DML, which are also the initials of Blessed Martin Luther. In any event, as this pericope indicates, this was a benediction that was specifically designed to be spoken to the people of God. As we learn in our study of the Office of the Keys, the gospel is, of course, to be read and pondered and sung about and acted out in our lives. But none of these things can ever replace speaking with a human voice to our human brothers the gospel of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. In short, the message this benediction speaks is this. It is the promise of the actual presence of God Himself with His people right here in this world all the time with the result of untold physical and spiritual blessing. And that's for real. This blessing is not merely an encouragement to look at everything now through rose-colored glasses. We'll leave that kind of an idea for mere Protestantism. We're talking about the actual, effectual presence of God with His people. The actual presence of God with us is demonstrated in the preceding chapters in the book of Numbers. God's tent, the house of God, resides smack dab in the middle of the camp of Israel. And even when they set out to wander through the wilderness, God's tent remains in the middle of that caravan. We also see it in the last verse of this pericope. God's name, that is everything that He is and He does, is firmly placed upon the Israel of God. And the blessings of this actual presence are summarized quite well by the first third of this threefold benediction. The Lord blesses us with every good and keeps us from every evil. It is God's own answer to the prayer which He taught us, the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, Lord, give us every good, whether that be bread for our bodies or forgiveness for our souls, and Lord, deliver us from every evil. This benediction also tells us that God is intimately present with His people. Now, while we usually leave numerology to those who would desecrate the revelation of John, there are some interesting numbers here in this passage. I've already mentioned the three occurrences of the name Yahweh. The God of the burning bush who led them to Sinai will continue to lead them from Sinai to the promised land. But there are also six occurrences of the pronoun you, in the singular, no less, to heighten the intimacy of God's relationship with His people. It reminds me of my confirmation verse in John chapter 10. Do you, by the way, remember your confirmation verse? John 10 reads, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. Again, six references, coincidentally, to the people of God. But then there is also the double occurrence of the word faith. I don't personally countenance the use of the word countenance to translate this word. In both occasions, the word simply is the word for faith. First of all, God causes faith to shine on His people, to emit the light of grace and salvation. And the blessing says that He lifts His face toward us. He's paying close attention. He's watching, not just to find out who's been naughty or nice, but always looking for new opportunities to work His love for His people. Now, isn't it interesting that God, of course, has mighty arms, and He has strong feet that can trample the enemy, and He has a loud voice that can terrify, but He also has a face. He is a personal God. He has, if you will, a personality, a caring personality, and He is concentrating. His eyes are fixed on the object of His affection. As you know, the use of the word faith in this blessing is an anthropomorphism, that is, speaking of God in human terms. But God's greatest chance to work His love for His people came in an event which made all anthropomorphisms unnecessary, when God actually became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the perfect fulfillment of this benediction. The benediction promises grace, and grace and truth came in Jesus Christ. Christ did not hide his face from shame and spitting. In the supreme act of his love for us, men had to hide their faces from him in sheer horror. But as a result of that sacrifice, the Father in heaven does not hide his face from us. As a matter of fact, he lifts up his gracious face toward us. The benediction promises peace. And in Jesus' resurrection, the Prince of Peace grants to his disciples in that upper room peace, not just once, but twice, to make sure that they get the message. In Jesus' ascension, he lifted up his hands in blessing upon his disciples at the end of his service, if you will. We are baptized in the name of the Triune God. And there, God's name, that is, everything that he is and does, is firmly placed upon the new Israel of God. The actual, effectual presence of God is truly present with us right here in this world for physical and spiritual blessings. In fact, it's in a cup. It's in the cup of blessing. Until we reach the promised land, where God's face will visibly shine on us forever and ever. As the Apostle John says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their forehead, and night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.